Anda bersama SBS Bahasa Indonesia. Dapatkan lebih banyak lagi cerita bagus di sbs.com.au/indonesia.
Pendengar, pernahkah Anda bertamasya dengan kapal pesiar besar? Bagi Anda yang belum pernah berlayar dengan kapal pesiar, pasti penasaran dengan pengalamannya. Bagi Anda yang belum pernah pergi dengan kapal pesiar, berikut ini kami mendapat kesempatan berbincang-bincang dengan seorang cruise master konsultan, Martin Hero, dari Clean Cruising Brisbane, yang akan menjelaskan beberapa hal yang perlu Anda ketahui jika ingin berlayar dengan kapal pesiar besar. Good afternoon, Martin. Thank you for the time. Can you please introduce yourself to our listener?
My name's Martin Hero, and I work for Clean Cruising in Brisbane. I am a cruise master and a specialist in cruises, and my job is to sell the best cruise to, or the right cruise to everybody, and to service your bookings.
Okay, if I want to go on a cruise, can you tell me what are the essential steps should be taken to plan and prepare the trip?
Okay, so I think for a first-time cruiser, you need to decide, first of all, what sort of cruise you want, as in, is it one with family and kids, or is it one for adults only, or a more sophisticated luxury product, or a more run-of-the-mill large ocean cruise ship, that sort of thing. So it's hard to say exactly what you should do, but matching yourself to the right cruise line is probably the most important thing of all. And then once you've found your cruise line that suits you, a lot of people stay with that cruise line forever, or they move around and change or try different ones. So it's really about finding the right cruise ship for the person.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the times people are choosing the cruise because of the ship rather than the destination.
Okay.
Because they may have already been, some of my regular passengers have been to the Pacific Islands many times, so they're going for the holiday, the relaxation, the entertainment, and the activities on board rather than the destination.
Mm.
But if you're going on a long distance, like to Europe or America or Alaska or South America or, Japan, these are usually destinations that people have got on their bucket lists that they've wanted to go to for a long time, and they pick a cruise that suits that destination.
It seems like cruising now become more and more popular.
Holiday type.
Why is it so? Is it because of the pricing, or what is behind it?
I think there's a few things. It's mostly because of the ease of it. It's such an easy way to travel. You hop on board and then that's it. Your bag's unpacked and you don't have to worry about transport and travel and things like that. So there's that ease. There's also the all-inclusive value of it. So you're not having to find a restaurant to eat in or work out how much money it's going to cost you every day to feed yourself. So food included is a big deal. It's like going to an all-inclusive resort where you don't have to worry about money. It's already been paid for. So I think that's the ease. The other thing is safety. There's security with being on board a ship, and that's really important for families. It's also important for single people, particularly single women. So it's a safety issue. There's the ease of actually traveling to the destinations and then getting on a tour of the main places to see at that destination. So that's ticked off. So, for example, if you're in Rome, you do a tour of Rome. You're going to go and see the Colosseum. You're going to go and see St. Peter's, and you'll see the main things, and you don't have to worry about how or what and how you're going to do it, if that makes sense.
Okay.
So it's simplicity, really.
Once we choose the destination and the cruise liner, how soon do we have to book the trip?
Well, that's getting more and more earlier rather than later. Those sort of trends do change from time to time. Before COVID, maybe we found people were booking a bit closer to the sailing date, but now people are booking 18 months in advance.
18 months? Wow.
Yeah, easily. I mean, we're booking next week the Princess release for 27, 28. For the end of 27 and the big cruise in 28. So people are booking well in advance. We have a lot of ships that come to Australia, but this year we've had a few less than normal, a few less ships. So these ships have been full for a long time, or very close to full for a long time. So people booking for Christmas holidays and school holidays need to book well in advance. It's that's been booked out for some time, but it is full. It's on a wait list. I've got people on a wait list. So, yeah, I mean, sometimes with the wait list, you can get on. Mm-hmm. People do cancel for lots of reasons. But so if you want to go, get yourself on a wait list.
Okay. Once you choose the package, the cruise package, what is usually included in that package?
Well, most cruise lines or most cruises that you book will include, obviously, your accommodation, food and entertainment. Mm. You pay extra for your drinks, and quite a few of the big cruise lines offer a drinks package, which makes it good value for money if you wish to drink on board. Mm-hmm. Then there's the luxury products. The more expensive luxury products are much more inclusive. They actually include your drinks, quite a few of those, mm-hmm. so you don't have to pay for them. The other thing you need to budget for and plan for are your shore excursions, so when you get to your destinations, mm-hmm. how you're going to go and visit the sites at that destination, whether you're doing a tour or whether you're doing it independently or whether you're just going to go for a walk rather than sightsee. You know, those sorts of things have to be thought about. Mm-hmm. So the extras are mostly drinks and shore excursions. They're okay. On board, the other things you can spend money on is the spa facilities, like massages and beauty treatments and that sort of thing. Those are optional for people who wish to do that. And a lot of people like to go on a cruise for relaxation. Mm. So those spa places are very busy.
If we decided to go on a cruise, what sort of documentation is required?
Well, if you do a local cruise in Australian waters, most cruise ships don't require a passport. You can travel with a photo ID, like a driver's license, or an over 18 card or something like that. Traveling overseas, you obviously always will need a passport, minimum validity of 6 months for most destinations. Mm. And now these days, there's a lot of, arrivals cards that have to be done online.
Right. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of documentation that has to be done online before you go. Mm-hmm. There's visas for certain destinations or health declarations and arrival cards. And we're finding nearly every week a new country is adding one in. Mm. Like in Southeast Asia, for example, you need one for the Philippines, Singapore, Malaysia. Mm-hmm. You know, these countries now require that arrivals card to be done online. So people have to be a little bit tech savvy, I suppose, or get someone to help them because they have to be done online by the client, by the passenger, I mean.
Okay. Do we need insurance, like travel insurance?
Totally and absolutely important. Nobody should travel anywhere without travel insurance.
It sounds like cruising is very attractive and a lot of fun. But is there any negative side of it, if any?
Well, if you're asking a person who loves cruising, the only negative side, I suppose, is you're not actually overnighting in the destinations because generally you arrive in the morning, you have a day there, and then you're back on the ship for dinner or even sometimes lunch and go out again. But so you don't experience the night atmosphere of a destination. I miss that when I'm on a cruise, I must admit, because I love staying in a place for a while. But that's one thing. And the other thing is the number of people that are on the ship in a particular destination at any one time. It's never a problem when you're on board. There's plenty of places for people to spread out in. You don't really feel that it's busy, except if you're at a big show or something where everyone goes to. Mm-hmm. But when you're in a small town, or a little beach area, for example, in the Pacific, if you're on a cruise ship that's got 2,000 people, that's a lot of people on a beach. So that's sometimes a problem too, I think, the number of people.
When the ship dock on a port city and we are exploring outside the ship, and for some reasons we are late, go back to the ship, what happened then? Are they going to wait for us or what happened?
Generally, if you're off on your own and you don't get back to the ship in time, they won't wait for you. Mm-hmm. It's your responsibility to get to the next port yourself if you do miss the ship. If you're on a shore excursion that is run by the cruise line, so there's a coach load of people and they get delayed because of traffic or whatever, they may wait a little bit for them, but generally they don't. The port fees for the cruise lines are extremely expensive, and if they are due to leave at 4 o'clock, every minute after that they pay extra money to the port. So that there's a lot of money involved. Obviously, when there's a safety issue or something like that, that's always an exception to rules, but that's the general rule. If you miss the ship, you have to find your way to the next port yourself.
Okay. All right. Okay, thank you very much for the information.
You're most welcome.
Pendengar, demikian tadi bincang-bincang kami dengan Martin Hero, seorang konsultan kapal pesiar, tentang pro dan kontra bertamasya dengan kapal pesiar besar.
Anda ingin mendengar cerita-cerita seperti ini? Dengarkan di Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, atau dimanapun Anda mendapatkan podcast Anda.